You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. Now, we've got Kate Ryan, the curator of children's programs at the NGV, funnily enough, Dan. Now, we...
Welcome,
firstly.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Now, we're digging into your current role and your past at the moment, but let's go back a little bit. As I said to our first guest, Susan Van Wyk, you don't just wake up as part of the NGV. So where did it all start for you in terms of your art career? Were you always into art from a young age?
Yeah, I think, like when you're talking to many artists, you find out that it's rooted in their childhood that they began drawing. And I had that fascination, and I loved to draw and paint as a child. And as I grew older, I did go to art college and studied art and studied art history. But also I taught English as a second language for some time. And I found that really informed how important, when we're learning, that there's participation involved and there's interaction. Of course, language is all about communication and interacting with others, and that's very much informed the way I work in my role.
So where were you before the NGV?
So I've been at the NGV now for close to 5 years.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I was the curator at Gallery of Modern Art in Brisbane. And there I was curating the children's programs and exhibitions.
So you would have worked with Tony Elwood there?
I did. And I loved working with Tony. And I've very much enjoyed working with Andrew Clark, who's also here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I think, it's all about collaboration at the NGV. And that's how we work with artists, and that's how we develop projects. So it's a big team effort, and it's great to have their support and vision inform how we do things.
Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot too much, but there are two names in sort of in your larger role, the Truby and Florence Williams Charity Fund, which sort of funds your role at NGV and the sort of the children's curation and the program. So, can you tell us a tiny bit about how that came about and how that sort of, looks after your role and gives you that opportunity to look after kids at NGV?
Absolutely. So before I started, the gallery, Andrew and Tony secured this funding, and it was really about the ambition for the gallery to engage a children and family audience. And the Truby and Florence Williams Trust supports that kind of engagement, that they want children's lives to be transformed and change, and that's our mission with the projects that we do. So it certainly supports the role that I have at the gallery, and it supports the exhibitions and projects. So this includes, it's quite wide ranging what we do for children and families. It's the exhibitions, of which we present 2 to 3 per year. We also have a huge Kids on Tour program that is delivered to all the children, a little bit like Santa delivering the toys, across Victoria each year, where venues such as regional galleries, but also community halls, local libraries, can deliver what's on an offer for children here at the gallery at their local community centre.
I had no idea about that.
This year we're reaching 57 venues. So the first program, which was 5 years ago, we worked with 12 venues, and it's expanded. And we're also working with very different organisations, from migrant resource centres, so they're involved, and also paediatric wards in hospitals. And this year we're really excited because the nursing home's going to be involved. So that intergenerational engagement we think is really important too.
Now, it's only a 5-year project for you, but it sounds as if you're really hitting your straps now, that it's a shame that it will finish.
Well, it's something that we're working on, and we have great support from private philanthropy as well. And Christina Campbell-Pretty supporting a major project for our festival, the NGV Triennial, which is a little bit like a festival of the arts, you could say.
Yeah.
And our children's publication is also supported by Christina Campbell-Pretty and her family.
Right. So tell us, what is the children's programming for Triennial?
We've got a great package of offerings for children and families. And as Susan mentioned, everything is free at the gallery, so yep. It's welcoming everyone to, you know, really enjoy what's on offer.
That's what I was going to say before as well, is that you've obviously done a brilliant job, because every time you go to the gallery, especially if it's of a morning, there are so many mothers and fathers with kids in prams or kids running riot. In the nicest way possible. You've really hit your straps there, haven't you? And has built up the fact that people want to come there with their kids.
Yeah, I think we have a loyal audience, and we're also still building on attracting new visitors to the gallery. So since 2012, we've brought in 1.5 million children.
Gosh.
And that's not counting the entourage. The grandparents that bring little children, their friends,
uncles,
the relatives, uncles, of course, yes. Yeah, so everybody comes, and I think the success of the program is that we are constantly changing the exhibition space, and we do have a dedicated children's gallery on the ground floor.
Yep.
So that really sends a message to everyone visiting that we take our children audience very seriously, and they're as welcome as everybody else.
Yeah, and the fact is that some of them are so cool, aren't they? You know, like the way they've, which, you know, we talk about the NGV and how the exhibitions, you know, like it's the way it's presented now is just brilliant. But with the kids area, it's just wild. You want to go in and join them, don't you?
And you should. And, we collaborate with artists, you know, very closely, where it's all about getting to the kernel of their practice. And it is large scale and it's dynamic. So it often includes multimedia elements.
Yeah.
They're immersive spaces. And we have to occupy, because children, you know, they're not going to put up with anything lame. So it has to be really dynamic and engaging for them. So we test everything with them. And Peter King, the senior exhibition designer at the gallery, he calls them the mini Melbourne winter masterpieces because they do take, you know, a big team effort to realise. And, we're very excited that, you know, over 100,000 children will visit these projects. And this year we had Fiona Hall, who represented Australia at the 56th Venice Biennale. She's passionate about children and teenager audiences, and she developed this large-scale installation, and now we're working with We Make Carpets, a Dutch collective, on this installation.
Okay, which sounds fascinating. Describe it to us.
Well, I think if all the children that visited Fiona Hall, they would have seen that it was like a treehouse environment.
Yes, yes.
And there was a dark side, and on the light side it was kind of... what would you say? Bright pinks and sunlit.
Mm.
And now it's stripped bare. It's like the white gallery space, but it's it features these large-scale mural-sized installations using everyday materials. So the artists will be interested in those overlooked, designed objects that are in our lives, from paper clips, in this case, shuttlecocks, pool noodles, the pegs that we all use to hang our washing, to create these spectacular installations that are really richly patterned. And they're working with the kind of formal idea of by placement and creating patterning that you can create these incredible works. So, for example, the shuttlecock wall, as we call it, the carpet, contains over 6,000 shuttlecocks, all in a myriad number of colours, in geometric patterning. The kitchen sponge is upon arrival.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually we think of these things as quite, you know, single objects, but en masse and arranged by these artists, they're stunning.
And you said you bring the kids into the process of creating. So specifically talking about this one, how did it work for the triennial?
Yeah, so we've been working with the artists for the past year, lots of Skype emails, conversations, because for the artists that we're working with, for many, many times, it's the first time they're working with this young audience. So we work together and we test everything. So, you know, they suggested they really wish to work with the pool noodles. So, you know, we run off and purchase them and test them out with
kids.
What's
a pool noodle?
You know, those long...
Oh, David, you're missing out on all the fun.
Oh, and they float. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it. I didn't know they were called pool.
Yeah,
whatever.
So they come in about five different colours.
Yep.
We had them all produced, especially. And then the artists have created two different installations across the 10-metre wall, one where they're all sticking out at different lengths. That doesn't sound too... that doesn't really do justice to the work. And then the other one's looped, and it reminds me of if you were like a little insect and you were up close, you would be in the carpet loop.
Wow.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, that sounds great. But I also do get the way, you know, like it would stick straight out as well at different lengths. Mm. Oh, gosh.
And then the children,
they
can create their own. And they can work together or work on their own and finish the works. So the top levels are created by the artists, and then the children can respond to those and create. So it's really hands-on, it's tactile, and there's all different visual sensations, really, with the whole interior of the space.
Gosh.
And is this one in particular multimedia at all, or is it more of that tactile?
And that's a very good question, because this is probably the first for some time where there is no multimedia engagement.
Wow.
And I think, you know, that really goes back to the artist titles where we make carpets. So it's really, and it's called Hands-On, We Make Carpets for Kids.
Yep.
And I think for many families, they'll really appreciate that this is down with the technology for a while. Mm, let's engage, let's be making, let's use our hands.
Physical sort of product.
Yeah. Looking after three nephews and a niece last night, and the parents trying to get them away from their iPads, and it is doing things. We went out to see Christmas lights, but we got home before it got dark, so we didn't see any Christmas lights, but it was getting them out of the house, especially a little 5-year-old a niece. I make stuff, and she wants to make stuff. She doesn't want to sit on her iPad, so
and I think children need the direction, really, don't they? The screen and playing on iPads fun, but then there's time for that, and then there's time to do other things.
Yep.
And this is something where parents and families and kids can all come and take part, and they'll be asking to come back, and they'll see it all change over the course of the exhibition.
And because it's such a long exhibition time, it will. If you come in the early stages, then go back.
Yeah, it'll be constantly changing.
Yep.
And we have a great festival in January for children and families.
Oh, okay.
So that runs from the 8th until the 14th. It's a 7-day event. And that's where they can work with another artist from the NGV Triennial, Hahan, who has an incredible installation in the space. And then children can meet the artist and take part in making with him and discover.
And where's he from?
He's from Indonesia, Yogyakarta.
Right. Okay, and you're going to say that they'll discover...
They'll discover the symbols that are in his work. So, for example, there's the hands, and there's walking creatures, and they represent him, and it's all about the life of the artist and how to become a successful artist. So each work, each image that he's working with is layered with symbolic meaning, and so we're unpacking some of that so that kids can learn about his work and decode it, but also bring their thoughts to some of the symbols that he's working with.
It makes me think of, when I go into the NGV and read, we were talking about this off air, but read the kids' descriptions of, all of the exhibitions that happen in NGV, they don't talk down to kids. They excite and set the imaginations off, and I've more than once found myself reading that one instead of the adult one, and getting a real picture of what the artist meant or what kind of conversations might come out of one in particular piece.
Yeah.
So is that something that you are always conscious of when you're putting programs together and descriptions together of artworks?
We're kind of like the meat and the sandwich in our section. So we're working with the artists, and then we have the audience, and we're passionate about our audiences and how they understand what's on offer, what the displays are about, what's the artist's intention. So we do carry out, all the teams, curatorial team, carry out research and really write those labels so that they engage the child, but also engage the adult with them so that they can have a conversation about the artwork together and, feel ready to go on and encounter more art, because, you know, what I think is important for the gallery is to communicate what the artist is wishing to do with their work.
And, of course, you know, like, we'll talk about other, especially for kids, but it's important that the kids are seeing an exhibition like this with their parents or, you know, like whoever. And you're like, how do you see an exhibition of this, how vast it is and how big it is, and to, you know, can you take it all in one you know, like visit
one
to
hit.
The gallery? you know, like, will the kids will be excited by this?
Yeah, there's a lot for children to engage with and discover. I think what the parents and families will find, and visitors, will they'll need to come back, because as Susan mentioned, you know, with the opening weekend, this is when a lot of artists are giving talks about their work, and then you'll you know, be keen to see what that work is, but then you'll have missed other things. You know, there's over 100 artists involved from 32 different countries.
Yeah.
It's a big smorgasbord.
Is this the biggest thing that the NGV's done?
I think it would be, yeah.
Because to take over the whole gallery...
Four levels.
What was one of the first things that Tony did when he arrived?
Melbourne Now?
Yeah.
That was across both sites.
And was that the whole gallery in both instances? Ooh. I can't remember that now.
This is our first... NGV triennial, so it's the inaugural one.
Yep.
And I think it's interesting for going forward for the gallery to look at this intersection between art and design and fashion and technology. So, you know, this is launching and looking ahead. Mm. So it is different to Melbourne Now, which was engaging with the Melbourne community of artists.
Oh, that's right. That was just Melbourne, wasn't it? Where this is international.
We're going global.
What else is happening for the kids?
So it's for everyone, there's quite a few large-scale immersive environments, and one that we're very excited to premiere is by the Japanese artist Yayoi Kusama, who I'm sure your listeners would be familiar with. She's the artist that she's now 88 years of age, and she creates works that are quite abstract, working with repeated imagery of the dot or the net.
Yep.
So large-scale paintings or environments that you can enter. So this is a first, where it's in the gallery, it's like an apartment has been built inside the gallery.
Right.
Kitchen, bathroom, ensuite, and then you arrive and... The participation that you can take part in is you will receive a flower, a bright red flower, which you can place anywhere in the apartment. And this artist, ever since she was a small child, around 8 years of age, has suffered from these visual hallucinations. And this particular installation goes back to the first hallucination.
Wow.
Where she was seated at the dining table, and the tablecloth was covered in flowers, and then the flowers just started to cover every surface, and a completely overwhelming experience for her. And that's informed her art making ever since. So this is, usually it's the dot that we're familiar with,
yeah,
but she's actually using the motif of the flower.
So are the flowers taken down each day, or is it just added to over the whole period?
Yeah, so it will accumulate and obliterate. So everyone's participation... Each day, gradually, it will just grow and grow.
And you won't see anything else in the room apart from flowers.
Just the red flowers.
So it would be good to see it at the beginning and then at the end, another reason
and
to come
back. And
we're
going to document it and take excellent photography so that we can see the transition. The different stages.
Right. Mm. That sounds fab. I can't wait to see that and get my flower.
Yeah.
And what else?
Team Lab, a Japanese artist collective that work with technology and artists and lots of digital media that is beyond my comprehension. They're creating this massive environment that's mirrored, so it extends forever. And then when you walk into the space, it will the whole environment will change. So it will respond to your movement and how fast or slow you're walking, and you will be caught up in like a digital vortex, swirling motion, movement all throughout the space. And that the team are interested in the natural world and that intersection between the digital world and the natural world.
Right.
And replicating these kind of vortexes. That,
oh, gosh.
Fortunately, I haven't been caught up in any kind of whirlpools, but I'm looking forward to taking part in that.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds fascinating. Anything else you'd like to mention?
There is. So I think everyone who's listening may be getting a sense that there's, you know, a great deal of sensory engagement, whether it be visual and tactile. There's Cecil Tollis has created this beautiful installation that's more subtle, where you can use your nose to discover the smells of Melbourne. That's been a big project. And another one that's we're very excited about is a complete takeover of the gallery kitchen, a place where people come to have a coffee and catch up with their friends. That whole space has been transformed into a colourful Moroccan-style tea kitchen, a tea house, where you can enjoy spearmint tea.
Yeah.
And learn about the artist, Hassan Hajjaj, his ideas of nos-nos. So this is apparently a coffee order in Morocco, which is coffee and milk, and it means half-half.
Yes, and you pour it from a height or something, don't you?
Yeah, I've seen that in Singapore too, where they do that.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Morocco, but maybe I should go just to be sure that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow.
It's funny you mentioned that, though. Like, as a, you know, a curator and putting things together, is part of the fun actually discovering all these different realms of art that you don't get to see on a daily basis?
I think we're all very spoiled in that regard. You know, we're working with these artists from all over the world, and in some ways we have that virtual travel as well. And many of the curators have travelled and to meet the artists and to, you know, commission these works. So it's been a huge undertaking for the gallery to realise this incredible work, and we really, this exhibition, so...
Yeah. How long ago did you all sit down at a table and go, OK, we're going to do this?
I imagine it's at least 4 years ago.
Wow.
And more people got brought on the team, and, you know, it's really everybody in taking part.
Yeah,
from
what are the sections you're involved in?
Yes,
you then,
yeah,
like were bought in to help. What's happening in the foyer of the NGV?
So upon arrival, you know, when people get beyond the water wall, there's a fantastic installation by the Campana brothers. People who are interested in design and furniture may be familiar with their works. The shaggy chairs. I'm trying to think of how to explain it. There's one in the gallery collection called Cake Stool, and it's all fluffy toys that are stitched together to create this.
I love that one, yeah.
And they feature in our children's publication as well. So they've collaborated with a group of Indigenous artists who have stitched the complete interior of this dome structure, and it's all responding to the water lily. So they're from Brazil, and of course that's where the Amazon is, and there's that, you know, that huge Victorian Amazon water lily that you can sit on.
I remember hearing,
you know, a small child could rest on this particular water lily. So big. And then the Indigenous artists also have water lilies in the Northern Territory that are a part of their country. So that work is in dialogue with each other, with the Campana brothers and the Indigenous artists. And then beyond that is the Zhuzhen Lying Buddha that we've affectionately called it, Eternity Nirvana. And that stretches 18 metres in length. It's huge. It's the Lying Buddha dotted with Greek, Roman and Greek sculptures from all different types of artworks and installations and architecture. There's one that I recognise that is a reproduction of a Michelangelo sculpture.
Right.
So everyone can have a lot of fun working out where these all these different sculptures are from.
And they're all laying on this
They're poised and positioned. Across the work. So that's phenomenal work by Zhuzhen.
Gosh, it must be really exciting going in there. Has the gallery closed at all? Or
no, so actually I think what a lot of people have been enjoying is arriving at the gallery and seeing works in progress and under construction, and the exhibition management team have divided up the areas. I don't know how they do it. And there's pieces happening here, and yeah, so you can still visit and enjoy what's on, you know, the collection, and witness some of these installations taking place.
Right, okay.
That's pretty, you know, unique, I would assume, that, you know, normally there's a big reveal. I kind of love that fact that you can sort of go behind the scenes and almost see how the sausage reveal, is made a little bit.
Yeah, the big reveal is definitely happening this week.
Yeah.
But there's a, yeah, there's just little sprinklings happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we did ask Susan Van Wyk about, you know, just putting it all together and sort of whittling it down of what photographic things to choose. So what was your process in terms of, you know, putting it all together, and how long did that take then?
In terms of my area, which is with the children and families component, I've got a great team, and I work closely with executive management as well. And we were really wanting to engage the children with the whole exhibition. So we've produced a book in-house. It's our 10th publication, and that represents 12 artists that all speak in their own voice. And then our role was really to focus on the participatory projects, the ones that I've mentioned, like the We Make Carpets and Flower Obsession and Hassan.
Yeah, so they're exhibitions that are...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's exhibitions that are there, but the kids are going to relate to them because of their involvement. You can, you know, it's involvement.
They're always... How the audience engages with everything at the NGV is very much present in people's mind, so that informs how the curatorial process works as well.
Right. Thank you so much for coming in today, Kate. The insight that you've given us for Triennial is amazing, and you're like, yeah, I can tell the excitement in your face, you know, like when you were describing stuff. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, we look forward to welcoming everyone, and we hope you come too.
Yes, we will be there. We'll be
great.
There.
Thanks, David.
Now, big thank you to Kate Ryan, the curator of the children's program at NGV. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.